Hello. All right. Good morning. Good morning. If you would turn with me to Philippians, we're going to read from chapter 2, and we are going to read from verse 1 to 4. All right, so Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Would you help us to really understand your word, that your word would be living in our lives, and that it would give us such inspiration and purpose. We thank you, Lord, and we just want to offer you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So here Paul is talking to the church in Philippi, talking to the Philippians. And in verse 1, he says, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation in love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. So he's not really saying, is there any of this, right? It's actually rhetorical question. Rhetorical being, of course these things are apparent. It'd be like asking you guys in Hong Kong, oh, you people living in Hong Kong, is the weather ever humid? And of course you would say, yes, I have the dehumidifier on all the time, or at least I do. So it's rhetorical. So given that these questions are rhetorical, that would also mean in our Christian life, these four things that he lists, they should be happening in your life. They should be happening in your life. So if you were to break down those four things are, those four things are encouragement in Christ, consolation of love, fellowship of the Spirit, and affection and compassion. So off the bat, when you hear these different lists of terms, they might actually sound, oh yeah, of course. But if you break it down, like, okay, at least for me, they actually don't, like, what does that mean? Okay, like, first one is encouragement of Christ. Kind of clear, right? We all have received and experienced the encouragement of Christ. That's kind of a little bit more clear. In the message, it says, for that particular part, it says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ. In the Amplified version, it says, therefore, if there is any encouragement and comfort in Christ, as there certainly is in abundance. So when it's talking about encouragement of Christ, it's basically saying if you've been affected in any way by Christ, you know, since being born again, like he's touched your life, brought comfort, anything, right? So that's something that you definitely should be experiencing, right? Christ is definitely affecting your life in some way. The second thing is consoling of love. Consolation of love. What's that? Not explanation, but exactly. I even had this like long talk with my wife. What's consolation of love? So, in the message, again, message version, if sometimes you read these things and it's like, it kind of makes sense, but you're like, oh, what is that? Message version, great. Consolation of love is if his love has made any difference in your life. So the first one is more how he's directly affected you, Christ. But this is also consolation love is if his love has made any difference in your life. Does the fact that he loves you, that he calls you sons, daughters, does that make a difference in your life? Next, fellowship of the Spirit. This one hopefully is one of the more easy to understand ones. And again, message version is if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you. So if you're a part of a house church, if you come to church, then you should be experiencing this fellowship of the Spirit, which also implies if you're experiencing the Christian life, you need to experience this in community. There's more to the Christian life than just the relationship with you and God, but it involves community, your brothers, your sisters, fellowship of the Spirit. And I just want to point out, you know, we talked about relationship on Sunday, but if you're part of a community, it's not enough that you just show up. It's not enough that you just show up and you're there and then you would check off, okay, fellowship of the Spirit, I'm doing that. It's not enough to just show up. You know, you really need to be engaged. You need to be vulnerable. You got to let someone know the real you. You got to let people bless you, especially maybe not, well, for myself, I remember growing up all the time. And anytime anyone blessed us, my parents would respond, be like, no, 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 no. I remember someone, who was it? Was it my uncle? Yeah, my uncle wanted to give me a badminton racket. Not even new, secondhand. And he saw I loved to play badminton when I was a kid. And my dad was like with me. And the whole time my dad's like, no, 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 no. And like trying to give it back. And I was like so confused. Like, is it okay to accept gifts or not, right? And as we grow up, as I grew up, I had to deal with even that in community. It's like someone blessing you. And really, I mean, I don't know why my dad didn't want to receive gifts and be like, oh, no, it's okay. Or, you know, Chinese people, maybe Korean people too, like over dinner, when it's time to pay the check, they're like fighting for it back and forth. I'm like, is this for real? Right? And I think maybe, I don't know, the core of it is maybe you just don't want to be blessed because otherwise you have to bless other people, right? It's like, I don't want to owe people anything, right? And maybe that's why, not just with material things, but it can be also emotional things, right? Oh man, if I really am vulnerable with people, if I'm really vulnerable at house church, and people are there for me, does that mean I have to be there for other people? I don't know. So part of that is, yeah, it's being vulnerable, accepting blessing, receiving blessing, and yeah, even be there and be obligated in some ways, but hopefully it's not just an obligation, to also help other people. That's what fellowship of the Spirit involves. It's more than just showing up. And the last thing that you should, or Paul mentions, that you should be experiencing as a Christian is affection and compassion. I like the message version. It just says, if you have a heart, if you care. So as a Christian, rhetorically, so Paul's saying to the Philippi, if you even have a heart, if you care, right, so you should have that as believers. And then in verse 2, Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So this is kind of like Paul's coffee shop talks. Remember, two Sundays ago, PSAM's like, you know what would make me happy if you blessed? Or how you? What's the question? You know what would make me, this is how you can bless me? So Paul's saying, you know what would make me really happy? You know what would make me really happy today as I'm sharing this with you? And then he goes on to list, again, a list of things that would make him really happy by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So what Paul is talking about is unity, right? That's what makes him really happy, unity. But he breaks down those few things that encompass unity, right? Because even like we say, oh, let's be a church, let's be united. In what way, right? There's many different aspects of unity. So first part he's saying, in verse 1, he's saying, this is what you should be experiencing as a Christian. Second part is, this is what would make me really happy, is you would be united. And then the listed things are, same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So let's just go through them quickly. Same mind. What does that mean? What does that mean? Again, I went to the message. The message. Because first I had a chat with my wife. We were all like really deep. Basically in the message it says, if you want to have the same mind, it means agree with each other. Simple. So agree with each other. Right? So next, maintaining the same love, message version, says love each other. So first, agree with each other, always be in agreement. Second is love each other. Third is, he says, united in spirit. United in spirit. The message says, be deep-spirited friends. I didn't like that one as much, but you know, united in spirit, be connected. That's probably at house church, where your relationship is, it goes deeper than just, you know, having common interests, but it's a spiritual connection, right? That koinonia. And that can only happen when you allow God in and to move and connect you, right? So especially if you're a house church leader, how can you do that? I mean, part of it is you just allow, I mean, I guess even putting that get together already kind of does that, but how can you intentionally really allow Holy Spirit to come and unite your house church members? How do you take someone who's brand new, who doesn't know anybody, who everyone's meeting for the first time, how do you do that? And I have a secret trick. It's not really a trick, but I have a secret method. It's not even a secret, but I just do this. What I do is at the beginning of every house church, if there's a newcomer, actually sometimes, but always if there's a newcomer, the first thing we do before we do any icebreaker or even worship or anything is we pray and prophesy over that newcomer. And what happens is God shows up in that praying and prophesying. And this is not the only sign, but how well, I can usually, this is how I know if the newcomer comes and shows up and they're going to stay, is we pray for them, and as we're sharing the what we feel like God is sharing, they start crying. And then I'm like, they're definitely going to stay in house church. And because what's happening is, that's like, it's this spiritual bonding, right? It's this spiritual experience that is happening. And it's amazing because this complete stranger, we have no idea who they are, who it's just awkward. Oh, like all those usual, oh, how long have you been coming to Solomon's Porch? You know, what do you do? You know, stuff like that. What do you do for fun? Mine is, do you play basketball? Because if you play basketball, I know how we can hang out, right? And that's good, but then experiencing God and having a heart for that person, oh wow, that spiritually connect. Even people who basically, so what's the answer? Is you got to give God an opportunity to move. You got to pray. Pray with the person. Because if God gives you that heart for the person, totally changes what your perception is. I've had many quirky people, odd people in my house church who I would like, think, oh man, like I would put a wall up. But because of what the Holy Spirit did to give me God's heart for the person, totally opened up myself up and changed my perception. And then after united spirit is in spirit, the fourth thing that Paul asks us to do is intent on one purpose. This is what the Amplified Version said. Intent on one purpose, living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding salvation through faith in Christ. That's the last part. You think, no big deal. It's a huge deal, right? If you as a house church, you as a couple, when you guys are on the same page going after Christ, you know, with the purpose of building up his kingdom, spreading the gospel, when you guys are together on the same page, wow, amazing. When you guys aren't on the same page, if you've ever experienced it in house church where you're on different pages, really difficult, right? Especially as a leader, you're trying to get people going and people are just all, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm good where I'm at. I'm good with just coming together to talk. No action in your life. Really hard. It's like really draining. Even harder that's why Jesus says, don't be unequally yoked, right? I can say, me and my wife, she's a Christian, right? Even at times we're on different pages, it can be really hard. And we're both Christians, right? I'm trying to like, let's go. Let's do this. Let's go all out. And are you sure? Like, oh, I don't know. Let's pray about it, which is good, praying about it. But sometimes you just got to, when you feel the unction to go, you got to go, right? And that can kind of take away. Verse 3, so those are the things that make Paul very happy, that the church would be united. And then he says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. So it says, don't be conceited and don't be selfish. What is conceit? It's in the Cambridge Dictionary, it says, too proud of yourself and your actions and abilities. Too proud of yourself. So you think so highly of yourself based on your actions and ability. And it says empty conceit, right? Empty. So I guess, what would be not empty conceit? I guess it would be thinking highly of yourselves in Christ, right? Not based on just your own abilities, but think highly of yourself because of what Jesus did, right? Because why is that good? It's because you're not taking the glory. You're actually projecting that glory onto God and what he did. So that would be good. And so it says, regard one another as more important than yourselves. This actually puts things even higher standard, right? It's in the second commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself, right? At that level, which is already quite a lot. But this is saying, more important than yourselves. How can we do that? How can we, like, what does that look like in community when we put other people above ourselves? Is it like, oh, like, is it, we gotta, like I said, you know how people are fighting for the bill? Is that like, oh, let me pay. Is it if someone is standing and the sanctuary is full, like, oh, take my seat. It could be that. It could be those things. It really depends on what's going on in the heart. But as I was really meditating on what that meant in relationship, because I was kind of trying to figure out what to share about, and then it really hit me from reading Proverbs, right? The thing in Proverbs that it always talked about what you needed was wisdom, number one, and the second thing was understanding. And so when we are talking about how do you consider each other as more important than yourselves in community and relationship, I think what that means practically in a community is understanding. As in, you're really trying to understand other people. You're like, oh, of course. That's not common. Most people are not trying to do that. Most people are trying to be understood. Any argument you have, especially husband and wife, with anybody in, even in house church, you have like these debates. Everyone is trying to get the other person to understand them, right? It always goes, oh, no, no, but I feel like, you know, that this is what blah, blah, blah. I feel like everyone's trying to be understood. No one's really trying to be understanding of the other person. That's really lacking. And that's how we can really put other people as more important than ourselves. And really, if we're trying to understand people when we're talking about listening to people, that's what most people want. Sometimes most people don't even want a solution. They just want to be understood, right? They want to be understood. If people feel understood, they don't feel so alone. And then if you really, really understand someone and they feel like they're understood, then they would also feel like, oh, you know what I'm going through. You understand this situation. Therefore, if you have advice to give me, I can probably take it a lot better. So understanding. And then finally in verse 4 it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Also, again, going back to understanding, how can we look out for the interests of others? You have to know what's going on in their life. It takes that quality time. It takes understanding what they're going through. But a question that came up is, well, why should we do that? Well, yes, Paul tells us to do it, right? But why should we do that? Why don't we just look after our personal interests first and then take care of others? Well, that's that faith element, right? And the faith element, according to Matthew 6:33, is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you. When you seek out the interests of other people, essentially what you're doing is you're building up God's kingdom. His kingdom are his people, right? And so when you bless, you put other people's interests ahead of yourself, your own interests, you are essentially building up God's kingdom. And his word says, if you do that, if you build up other people, you build up my kingdom, then God's going to be the one who builds you up, which is much better than anything you could do yourself. So, so you spend this time in worship, and as Cardia and Samuel play, I'll just summarize again. Paul starts off by saying, these are the things you should be experiencing in your Christian life. Encouragement in Christ, consolation of love, fellowship of the Spirit, affection and compassion. Then he goes on to say, this would make me so happy that you would be united. How's that? What does that unity look like? Same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And he goes on to tell us to not be selfish or conceited, but regard each other in humility as more important than yourselves, and to not only look after your personal interests, but also the interests of others. So just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If there is in any way in your life that you feel like that's lacking in your life, whether it be the things listed in your Christian life that Paul talks about, or it's really understanding people or putting someone ahead of your own self-interest. And maybe someone comes to mind right now where you haven't really been understanding them. You want them to understand you and what you think so that they'll do what you do, want them to do. Just commit with God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to, you know, be someone who really understands them, to be patient and love them.
Thank you.
I just felt like as we were worshiping that just Holy Spirit wanted to highlight you know, in verse 1 it talks about the things you should be experiencing in your Christian life. And especially the part, first two, encouragement in Christ, consolation of love. Those two things are things that you would experience directly with God. I just felt led to just have Samuel just play over us a little longer and just give a little time where it's just between you and God, and that he would be that encouragement, that his love would come upon you, that you would experience it right now. So Holy Spirit, would you come and just touch everyone here, touch anyone who's listening online right now. Yes, thank you, Jesus, that you made relationship with you possible, and that you want more than just head knowledge for us, but you want us to experience with you, experience the Christian life that has more to do with knowing in our heads, but also knowing in our hearts, relationship, God. And I thank you that that's your desire for us, God, that we could be with you and be comforted for you, by be encouraged by you and loved by you. Thank you, God. Let's turn to our community. Let's cover them in our prayers. Let's cover those who are going through cancer, but also going through chemo radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's healing, for God's strength. Let's pray for those that are going through illness, but also in need of knowing Jesus. Let's pray for those on the list, for infirmities, pray for those on the job list. Pray for God to open doors, to lead them to a job that God wants to use them in. Go to our missions prayers. Start with our mission focus. Let's cover Japan, Pastor Sophia. Let's also cover Cambodia and Grace, our missionary, as well as Oasis House, run by Pastor Jenny O. Cover the Missions Council, PSAM, Janella, John, Jungmin, Tim, Deborah, Ashley. Pray that they would use this team, that they would be united in spirit, intent on one purpose. That's to glorify God, that they would be prayerful. Cover our local outreaches, Igape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation. Let's also pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry. Cover our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, SP Youth, and EG. Cover our house churches meeting today, Elements, McCain, Mac Daddy, McRobinson, that they would experience God and have such fruitful, encouraging discussion as well. Yes, Jesus, thank you for your word today. And your word says to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So, Lord, would you help us, Holy Spirit, open our eyes and ears to see opportunities, God, where we can put other people's interests ahead of ourselves, that we could really reach out to understand people, and after through understanding how we can help people as well, and give us the wisdom and understanding as we go through that. And yes, God, and our why we can do that, Lord, is because we know that you're, as we take care of the things, as we take care of and build your kingdom, Lord, you are so faithful and good, and you'll take care of us, God. And so we can just really serve you and your commands with joy, God, because we know you got our back. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, would you just bless everyone here today, bless them, bless their spirit today to be connected to you, Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, that you would lead them in their walk, lead them in their work, lead them in their lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everybody. Have a great time. Please continue to spend that time with God as well.